The West Live. The West Live. With Ben O'Shea. Brought to you by the WA Local Government Association. What's your happy place?
It's been revealed the Safe WA app has been used by cops in their investigations into the assassination of bikie Nick Martin. To dig into the legalities is prominent Perth QC Tom Percy. Good morning, Tom.
Oh, good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. And now, so we know police serve warrants on the health department on two occasions to access Safe WA check-in data. Are you surprised this loophole even existed?
Well, it's not really a loophole. I mean, I suspected for a long time that they would probably use that if they felt that there was a need to do so. I mean, there's nothing sacrosanct from the police these days, and politicians usually humour them in relation to anything they want about their private lives at a drop of a hat. If I suspected you of a crime, then within moments, they could have all your bank records. They'd go through those. They'd subpoena your bank. If they wanted all your phone records, they'd subpoena your carrier. They'd have all of those. They could have surveillance devices installed in your house secretively without you knowing it. So, you know, the fact that they could contract you through the WA Safe device is no surprise to me whatsoever.
And now, is there any legal ramifications in terms of the trial process by this data being used by police in an investigation?
Well, there's always a safeguard there where a judge who is hearing this, they come along with that information and they want to produce that as part of the prosecution case to say, look, this is not really fair, this is not properly obtained. And there was no proper warrant or there's an imperfection in the warrant. I'm not going to allow this into evidence. The jury will never hear this, or I'm not going to accept it as part of the case. Now, there is that sort of discretion. However, in recent years, the judicial movement has more been towards saying, look, if it's a very serious crime that's alleged and it's a very important piece of evidence, we're going to allow it in. So let's say they raided your house and they find a kilo of heroin, and it subsequently find that the search warrant they had was bad. It was issued under the wrong circumstances, it was the wrong form, they had wrong details, or that the justice of the peace who issued it was misled and it was defective. So then can they say the search was unlawful and therefore they wouldn't allow their reception into evidence of the heroin that they found or whatever they found? And of course these days tend to say, well, look, there was an imperfection with it. It shouldn't have happened, but we'll allow it in. So I would have thought that whatever evidence that is gathered improperly in those circumstances, unless there's a major problem with it, then it's going to be allowed in. So that's the way it sort of works these days.
Yeah, right. So those little technicalities that may have worked in the past in terms of an argument on the defence's behalf don't often hold much weight with the judges these days.
Correct. The sort of technicalities we used to feast on and used to protect citizens, to put it a different way, from the excesses of the law or that denied you due process, really don't hold firm much anymore. I mean, if there's a genuine reason in the public interest for it to be admitted, and some people would say that's good. I mean, there's a great interest in catching drug dealers. There's a great public interest in catching murderers. And to be able to obtain the sort of evidence that you need. You can call me old-fashioned, but I really think the rule of law needs to be adhered to, and that that sort of discretion should be exercised only in the most exceptional cases.
Mm. And the Premier assured the public that the information from the Safe WA app would only be used for contact tracing in terms of COVID-19. Obviously, we know that wasn't the case. Do you think that's a breach of people's rights?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that he really coerced everyone into using the system unreservedly on the basis that your privacy was never going to be infringed. But again, call me cynical, but I really don't believe much of politicians when they give us guarantees like that. The guarantees were given us in the old days about our mobile phone and our information there, all your medical records and things like that, your financial records. Anyone who believes that those sort of things are sacrosanct, privacy, the domain of you alone, lives in a dream world.
The AG is now legislating to stop the cops from using info from the app. Could you foresee any situation where police or other authorities could still get access and get around this new legislation?
Of course. It would come down to that sort of same sort of residual discretion. So let's say it's the same sort of thing with listening devices that are not properly obtained, warrants, subpoenaed material and things like that. They go to court on a big murder case, and the critical piece of evidence is someone's whereabouts. They need to disprove an alibi or put someone at a particular location. They'd seek to introduce this sort of information. I have no doubt about that at all. And it would be up to a judge whether he thought that was fair enough. The test being whether it was sufficiently in the public interest to allow that evidence in, notwithstanding that it had been illegally obtained. So I think that legislation will not be any guarantee. I'd like to see it first before I provided a conclusive opinion about it. Mm. But in my experience, that sort of so-called safeguard legislation, which safeguards the rights of the public, would not prevail in the face of a compelling case for its admission in the prosecution of a serious criminal offence.
Mm. And has this whole situation exposed a flaw in the state of emergency powers? Given the Commissioner is the one who's signing off on the emergency laws, then he's also signing off on how some of those laws can be used to suit his own purposes.
Well, I don't think so. Those sort of laws are always draconian. They're always going to be wide-reaching, and they're no different to any other law that's passed that deals with the sort of rights that we expect on a day-to-day basis being curtailed. And it's a question of how they're interpreted by the courts. So I don't think there's any loophole there or anything that we hadn't expected in an emergency situation. Desperate times call for desperate measures. I think our legislation is much the same as any other state's. We went through this, those of us who are old enough, during the war and things like that. You just have to put up these things in the national or the state's interest from time to time. And occasionally you'll see situations which are excessive, and we need to deal with those on a case-by-case basis.
Mm. And how do you think the general public will now feel about this SafeWA app? My feeling is that there are plenty of people who don't really care that cops use it for serious criminal investigations. They figure, you know, well, if you don't do anything wrong, you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, look, I think the public is probably too tolerant of these sorts of things. And it's not until someone actually finds himself charged with an offence that they didn't commit that they really have a different change of attitude. Once you're sitting in my room, in my chambers, charged with a serious criminal offence which you did not commit, your attitude will probably be, well, it's all in the public interest, you know, it's in to everyone's benefit that we have strong laws to protect people's rights and catch drug dealers and put murderers away and things like that. But the words you use, I read it reminiscent to me of what my mother used to tell me, you know, when I went into the law, and I sometimes expressed difficulties about police powers, and she said, Tommy, if you haven't done anything wrong, you've got nothing to worry about from the police or the system. Mm. I said, well, as I saw cases like Barton, Beamish, Mallard, Austek, the list goes on of people who really shouldn't have had anything to worry about, but they did a long, long time in jail as a result. I sometimes think that perhaps we should err on the side of caution, whereas the system seems to have been going in the other way. We err on the side of locking people up for dangerous offences, serious allegations, rather than giving them the benefit of the doubt. And I think this will fall into the same category.
Mm. And now moving on to another pressing issue. We're reading in the newspaper today that times are being blown out in terms of getting cases to trial. We're told the Supreme Court are more than 60% over target late last year. Have you found waiting times to be problematic?
Well, COVID hasn't helped, and the judicial system is becoming more unwieldy just as a matter of the nature of the beast that it's become. And trials are becoming longer, requirements on prosecutors are becoming more onerous, and trials just take a long time these days. When I was a young practitioner in the 70s, you know, I'd do 5 jury trials a week on circuit sometimes, one day in, day out. Now, the average jury trial takes 5 days, and that's a comparatively short one. So trials have just become longer. In addition, the population's become larger, and we're alleging more crime against people. There's more cases coming out. So the system is becoming overburdened. The government doesn't fund it properly. And as a result, we need more judges, we need more courtrooms, and we need more staff. So the fact is that the queue gets longer, and you find yourself in a situation that I was in a couple of weeks ago, a well-publicised trial of a bloke who used to be a politician. It was listed for 5 days. It went 5 days. Of the 14 witnesses, we got through one. So it's now got to be adjourned because it was a magistrate's case. And he'll get his trial will resume probably in the middle of 2022, if not 2023. So that's a really, really unfortunate outcome.
Gosh.
But the average waiting time, if you got arrested today, Ben, the police arrived at your door, you could probably contemplate getting the opportunity to clear your name in about 2023. So if you got bail, you'd be on bail the whole time. If you didn't get bail, you'd be in custody the whole time, irrespective of where you went, and you get no compensation for that if you're acquitted. So that's our system. That's the one the politicians have inflicted upon us. There doesn't seem to be any appetite to change it much, but I would agree with what was said in the editorial in the West today, is that we've got to do something about it. The start would be to find more courtrooms.
Mm. And the courtrooms in the David Malcolm Justice Centre, is that the answer?
I think it's the answer. I think we've got to renovate them. It's a bit of a yes minister situation going on there at the moment. We've got a beautiful courthouse, but not a lot of work being done there comparatively. You walk through there, it's a bit ghostly sometimes, and that could be bustling with people sitting to reduce the backload. I mean, it need only be on a part-time basis. Why don't we have a blitz on the criminal list? Let's just get rid of the backlog. Let's just do it. Some years ago, they did that with civil cases. You could appoint a dozen acting judges and from people at the bar. I'm not putting my hand up, but there'd be some people that would. And let's get all those cases into those courtrooms into action. I know they say they've got security problems and they can't handle prisoners. Why don't we have the white-collar crimes down there, non-dangerous prisoners? There's enough of those sorts of cases to get rid of. And we can deal with those in that courthouse.
Clear the backlog. Tom Percy QC, thanks as always. Your wisdom is most appreciated. Let's hope someone comes up with a plan to fix the mess, both with Safe WA and the courts. Thanks for being on The West Live.
My pleasure.